We want these programs to be around and for anything, whether it was an affinity group or a new process or system, there has to be a higher ladder up. There has to be something tied. That's how things stay. They have to be built in the fabric of how we work. And the only way that that happens is by being a little bit more structured.
Hey everyone, welcome to Intent to Impact, the ERG podcast. The show is designed to help DEI and ERG leaders build and scale impactful employee resource groups. I'm your host, Mabi Igbuna, co-founder of CHESI, and we're joined today by Monique Jackson, Chief Diversity Officer at Gusto. Monique, thank you for being here.
Absolutely. So happy to be here chatting with you today.
Yeah. So I guess to kick it off, we like to start out. Can you give our audience a quick overview of the ERGs at Gusto and share how you directly support them?
Yeah, sounds good. So we have 9 amazing affinity groups is what we call them, or ERGs at Gusto. We have women, Black with Gusto, Asians with Gusto, awareness of visible and invisible disabilities. We have veterans with Gusto, pride. I feel like I'm missing, probably the rest of the names will come to me, and I apologize to my folks out there, but we have 9 of them. They're on our website, so you can definitely check them out. But in my role, I think what's really important for me is to ensure that working closely with our AG program manager to embed the work that they're doing into the larger business OKRs, our DEI team OKRs, really understanding the difference, right? Like what they drive from the aspect of building community, and what on my side of the house really driving when we think about the metrics and changing the business and the systems that we use at Gusto. So I work really closely with my AG program manager to make sure we're always on pace, and how I can always be an advocate and amplifier of the work that they like to do and embed it to the greater strategy at Gusto.
Cool. So your official title is like head of RISE. What does RISE stand for?
So RISE stands for representation, inclusion, social impact, and equity. So that program or that system was developed probably about coming up on 4 years now. And it was really just being intentional about how we talked about building those things at Gusto and giving it a name.
Nice. So in that role, can you elaborate on how you see ERGs kind of fitting into the overall DEI strategy or RISE strategy at Gusto?
Sure. So I think one of the things that's really important for me, and I always lean into when talking about ERGs, is they are not the DEI strategy. They are part of the DEI strategy. So I always like to make sure, because I think that sometimes it could be easy to lean on them to fix the thing, to create the thing. So for us, how they embed, one of the things that we're really focused on, right, is that inclusion, that I, and then that E when we think about equity. Those are the two places I would say that they lean in. Social impact even sometimes too as well, when we start to really challenge ourselves about what organizations we want to partner with, organizations that we want to make sure that we're supporting financially, voluntary, and things of that nature. So with a lot of the changes we've made recently, what it's enabled them to do is layer into the other parts of our business that lean on inclusion and equity as well. So when you think about benefits, or you think about your overarching community team, it's how do they layer into those aspects to enhance the experience? So if we're doing new benefits, how are affinity groups who are part of those communities really able to say, yeah, this feels good, this feels right, we want to be champions? So that's how I really think that they lean into our overall strategy, is they're champions of the changes and impact that we want to make that is inclusive and equitable. And then they're also the people that hold mirrors up to us sometimes, right? And ask the questions and amplify the voices of those in their community, so that we're making sure that we have a diverse thought process as well as voices in the room when we know we want to do the right thing. How are we making sure that we're doing the right thing by checking in with those communities and asking the questions?
Yeah, I feel like that's a super important distinction of like your ERGs are not your DEI strategy. Because I talk to a lot of ERG leaders, and oftentimes they're like, I feel like all of this is falling on me. And I'm like, I don't think that's how that's supposed to work. I feel like you should just kind of be supporting the strategy that your DEI team or people team kind of lays out.
Yeah, I'll say, you know, I started out as an ERG leader in this space. So that role and the role that these folks do is very close and near and dear to my heart, right? So I know what type of energy it takes and how much you care in that. And you want to have that balance, right? Because it's something on the side, right? So you're passionate about it, but you want to make sure that it also is impactful. So I always remember how it was for myself and how included our DEI team at the time made me feel, as well as the other leaders, and want to make sure I continue to amplify and perpetuate that type of experience.
Nice. So I know you work really closely with like your head of AGs. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious how you and her kind of work together to create clear goals for each of the ERGs and assure that they align with like your overall RISE strategy.
It's a great question. And the reason I say it's a great question is because we've been doing a lot of strategic work to ensure that that's happening. Yeah. We began to transition from that space of what I would consider like the more grassroots approach, where there's not necessarily the formalized process, or there's not something that these are the things that we're expecting of you. So there's growing pains with that. Again, I wouldn't do it as a ERG, right? Like, it doesn't always feel good because it feels like things are being taken away. But for her and I, what we had to do was sit down and say, what is the strategy of RISE overall, right? Like, and we know what the purpose of affinity groups or ERGs traditionally are. Is that what we want it to be here at Gusto as well? And I'm all about building out. And my question that I always ask when we're ever thinking about the affinity groups is, does it scale and is it strategic? So anything that we're thinking about, if it doesn't do those two things, which some things may not be scalable because they're for a moment in time and that's okay. But if we don't identify that, we could be building or setting up our affinity groups to not be successful. So some of the things that we've done to ensure that they align is provide resources and I guess you could say frameworks and guardrails of what good looks like. Because I think one of the hardest things when making sure that they are aligned to the strategy and are effective and impactful is what does good look like? How many events?
Yeah.
What does Slack engagement look like? Giving them metrics. So big shout out to Chezzy, the ERG movement, for all of the resources and tools that we've leveraged and said, like, how should we be using these and how do we give our affinity groups those things? So for us specifically, again, leaning into that inclusion and equity, one of the big things is community and engagement with a distributed workforce. How are we providing all of those different touch points, which look different? And then giving them the metrics for them to think about, and then also tying it to the larger metrics when we think about engagement overall at the company, right? When we're asking about community and belonging and we're asking about inclusion, beginning to challenge ourselves to say, how does being a part of an affinity group tie to that? And I think we're still doing that work because, again, the work is not new.
Right.
But I think that the formalization or really tying it in a thoughtful way to business strategy is newer. So we're at one step at a time and making sure that our affinity groups, right? Like, we don't want to give them so much, but say, like, here's things that should make you feel better, which in turn also ties to their ability to grow and develop and have things to talk about with their leaders about how they've grown in soft skills or other skills that maybe not be tied to their other job. So I would say the two ways are really like, right, that scale and strategy. So providing tools and trackable measures for them. And then on the other side is making sure that they really see that benefit and that ties right directly into their development, which in turn ties to the growth and the retention of folks as well.
Okay. I'm curious. So knowing that your ERGs are really driving forward, like the I and E piece of RISE, inclusion and equity, what are those metrics that you're tracking to be able to demonstrate the impact that your ERGs are having on those two pillars? A few examples, maybe not all of them.
Well, I think one, again, leaning into that distributed workforce is those two metrics around Slack engagement, right? Like, how many people are engaging? And then what's the, like, is it new people? Is it not new people? So that's one, because transparently, we're all busy. So events in the sense of that being the main thing that we're looking at or the main way we're measuring success and or inclusion, we just didn't believe that that would be setting anyone up for success or be a win. So one is in Slack, what are we doing? And then I think the other piece that we've done is for both our heritage, history, celebratory months, giving them some structure around how many things they should be doing. So there it's really around impact. We don't need you to do 15 events.
Yeah.
Just to do 15 events, right? What is the theme? How do we want to make this theme come to life? How do we leverage, in our case, we have a stage in which we do weekly content that part of our RISE programming or more of our inclusion programming. How do they leverage that stage during the week that they're on there for their Heritage Month? And then looking at the event through not just attendance, but what are some of those non calculable measures when we're getting the feedback. And then I would say tied to that is surveys, right? Like, is this what people even want? Do people like this thing? And understanding that there's going to be some events that are going to be driven by that attendance. And it's like, oh, we're so glad you talked about this. And there's others where maybe a smaller population, you know, we're in the middle of Black History Month. We have some amazing programming and we're bringing in some external folks. And we know that some of these topics are really going to hit home for maybe smaller groups within the Black community. But that is going to have a larger ripple effect.
Yeah.
So I think really being clear on, is this really a, we want to see everyone in the company there? Or is it, we want to make sure that there's a community within a community that is having a voice during whatever it may be. So that's what I would say. I would say really leading into Slack, and then that structure and expectation around events clarity is the other ways that we're really be able to then ladder it up to understand from an inclusion perspective. I would say on the equity side of the house, as we're expanding how we think about our partnerships, changing of people programs, they are again, folks that we hold the mirror up to, right? And I think it can be hard when you're in the people space, when you want to do right by folks and you want to create equitable, right? Not equal experiences and really being able to delineate that. And again, having our affinity group leaders as champions of this and being able to tell us what the watch outs are, the blind spots and things of that nature. So I would say when we're thinking about our systems, because we know that that's where most of the inequities actually start, making sure that those systems to the best of our ability are giving that equitable experience. And there's enough why behind it as well to answer those questions, which I think is constant place where all companies have to always try to do better. But I think that those are the things that at least I can say, you know, I know that we're having that conversation, we're asking that question and being open to knowing when we're not right, we're not wrong, you know, we're doing a little bit off. So that's where I would say the two places that we're able to measure those things.
I love that. There are a couple places I could go, but I'm curious on the piece around like them holding up a mirror to you, because you've mentioned that a couple of times. What does that look like for you to, or I guess, is it like you presenting potential benefits or policies to your ERGs and then giving you feedback directly? Or like, what does that look like to actually engage them in that way to where they have influence on like company systems?
Yeah, I would say it's two ways, right? I think there's that way. And shout out to our benefits team has been doing an amazing job of making sure that they're part of the conversation as they move things through the line. But then I think there's also, hey, Monique, hey, Ren, in our Slacks.
Gotcha.
What's happening here? What's going on, right? And I think it's being humble enough, I think, in this space, in DEI, DEIB, DIBJ, whatever, right? Like, at this point, just call it the thing that's the right thing. You have to know that things are going to change and people are going to have opinions and thoughts and feelings. So humbling yourself enough to have those conversations. They may not always be the conversations where everyone walks away happy, right? Yeah. And they're not, may not be always the answer that maybe the affinity group wants to hear or the answer you can give them at the moment. But I think that ability to have the conversation, again, you know, I'm fortunate to have an AG program manager that we work very well together and we're able to have a lot of these conversations. And our affinity group leaders also feel very comfortable being transparent, right? Like keep, you know, making sure that she's aware of what's going on, which allows me to know that there's trust built there, right? That they understand that not just their AG program manager, but the broader DEI team, RISE team is there, right? And it's not just to entertain the call, but we're going to be as honest as we can and provide, right? Like the real on where we are and what we can and cannot do. And how we're being able to take those things into consideration. So I would definitely say it's the one being proactive, but then it's also making sure that there's that, you're building that trust with your leaders in the community to know that they can actually have the conversation. And even again, if it's not the answer or the end where they want, they know that we care. I think it's the big piece, right? Like building that trust is not always easy. I mean, it takes a lot of work of being open, being present. So I think that that's the piece that on the other side, how we've been able to cultivate some of that ability to build those relationships and communication.
Yeah, I think that you're completely like spot on in terms of like you all showing up authentically and people knowing that like you actually care about this work really does foster that trust and that they can tell you like, this is my feedback on this. I commend y'all for that. Okay, so kind of switching gears. So I know whenever you first started at Gusto, one of your main priorities was to, or maybe not at Gusto, but like in this position, one of your main priorities was to create super clear guidelines and structures for your ERGs and your leaders. I'm curious why that was so critical to you and the impact it's had just on your overall ERG impact.
Well, I'll give the personal and the business reason of why it was so important. Personally, I work best in organization and strategy, right? So I think it was like for things to move forward, right? Like when you have affinity groups, right? Like and we're working with Ren, it's like, okay, we have to find a way that we can do this, right? Like to make sure that everyone feels seen, heard, represented. So there's that. And also being in an affinity group leader, I went through the change of being more structured as an ERG leader. And I saw the trajectory of impact. I saw the trajectory of more people being included. So I had seen that. I think on the business side, you know, anything that does not tie in, let's say, a positive way to the bottom line, there always has to be a real conversation about what are we doing. Like what for why, right? Yeah. Like I, you know, like what is this for?
Yeah.
So I think that there's also this piece of this is important. We want these programs to be around, and for anything, whether it was an affinity group or a new process or system, there has to be a higher ladder up. Mm. There has to be something tied. That's how things stay. They have to be built in the fabric of how we work, and the only way that that happens is by being a little bit more structured, right? Mm-hmm. Is being able to share what's coming, not just like these things popping up on calendars and everyone's like, oh, that's where my team's going on this Wednesday. Yeah. Like, you know, so there's also that piece of really being able to drive impact. There has to be some structure around it. So I know I had seen personally what the benefits are. I know what type of relief it also brings off of leaders. Yeah. For affinity groups or ERGs, because a lot of times structure is viewed as something that makes it more difficult, but it actually streamlines things where you're able to do more. Yeah. It takes a little bit to see that, but I knew that. And then again, it needed to be tied to business in some way for us to continue to have them, for them to grow, and more people to be involved. So that would be that. And then I would say, what have we seen since then? You know, I think one, it enabled way more people to have an opportunity to get involved that didn't think they can get involved before. Because unfortunately, when you have things that are more grassroots and not driven by an application or something of that, it's kind of like, if you know about it, you know about it. If you know somebody, right? Like if an ERG leader is like, oh, I'm going on my sabbatical, you got me, right? Like it's a very handshake deal, right?
Yeah.
Which, great for relationship building, not so great for to know what's going on. So it gave more people the opportunity to say, hey, I want to be involved. Two, I think, you know, what we've been able to see, right? We're in our first celebratory month or month that one of our affinity group leaders really put some programming around. It has enabled them to plan.
Yeah.
All right. Like we're not February 1st, like, oh my goodness, it's Black History Month.
Happy Black History Month, yeah.
Right, like, hey, y'all.
Right.
And, you know, so it's like, we're already talking about Women's History Month, and we're talking about AAPIH, right? We're already talking about it. So it also enables us to embed that thinking into the rest of the organization. So now parts of the business are more inclined to have that conversation. Hey, we know that's coming up. Is there a way that we can get involved? I think also, you know, we didn't talk about it, but for an executive sponsor piece, they're busy, right? So for them to really understand how to support, they need to know their expectations, but they also need to know what expectations their affinity group leaders are being held to so that they can support them in delivering those results. So we've been able to see that more clear programming and communication of what's going on. And then last, because the voices have changed, because there's more planning around it, people understand how they can voice their ideas. We're seeing some differences in the ideas that are coming to the table. Mm. We're seeing intersectionality actually come to life because now everyone understands what good looks like. Everyone understands what the goal is and how we should be really creating an inclusive place. And I think that obviously is what you want to achieve, right? Affinity ERGs, where we most people hopefully know, listen to this podcast, right? Know the how they came to be. And they have changed and evolved a little over the years. But one of the things that I think is most important now is that intersectionality piece, that constant conversation, that constant thinking differently about how we're moving things. And sometimes by giving the, I know what I need to do to someone, yeah, it allows them the creative space to think about that creatively versus I have to do everything. Yeah. I have to create a policy. I have to make sure people have a mentor. I have to make sure people are getting reimbursed for student loans. I have to make sure I'm doing events. I have to do, it's like, no, you don't. This is it. Make that so amazing. Right. Yeah. And, you know, for our team and for specifically our AG program manager, it enables her to do more, to impact more, for her voice to be elevated more in different spaces and partner with other parts of the business to ensure inclusion is brought in to the rooms and the events and the things that we're doing, which is ideally that what we talked about in the beginning, that embedding into all that we do and knowing that we have people that we can really partner with that are not experts, what I would say, but more so champions within communities to help us bring things to life and make things available. So lots of benefits. We're still in the early stages of rolling it out. But again, I've seen how much of a difference it can make. So, you know, maybe I'll be back in 2025 and I could be like, yeah, like we hit it out the park in 2024.
I think that's such a good point, though. Like the structure really does foster that engagement from both like a leader perspective and a member perspective. Like leaders, I'm not going to volunteer for something if I don't know what I'm getting into, right? And then for members, it's like, I'm not going to participate in something that I don't know like what the benefit is to me. And having that structure really outlines it for both parties. And I never thought of it that way, but that was a really, really great point. Okay, so on a tactical level, so could you walk us through the steps you took to create these guidelines for your ERGs at Gusto? So like what standardized operating procedures did you put in place? How did you prioritize those? Mm-hmm. But then how did you account for the unique goals of each of the ERGs? Because knowing that they're from different communities, they might have different things that they're trying to push forward. So how did you keep that in mind when creating processes across the ERG program? And I know I just threw a lot at you. So
yeah, no, I think that there's a couple of things. So I know I shared a little bit earlier, right? Like my brain works in a very strategic way, right? So I'm always asking the question, why are we doing this today? What is it going to help us do tomorrow? And I think myself and the AG program manager, right? Like we sat down and had to have a real conversation of like, where are we trying to go? Mm-hmm. And let's work backwards. So we know, right, like we know we want to have formalized programs and like we know we want all these things. We want to drive impact. We want people to see, feel, experience, hear, whatever it may be, how our ERGs are value add, right? Mm-hmm. Like we could talk about culture. We could talk about that stuff. So we went back. We knew that we wanted an application. So my question is, okay, yes, we know we want an application process. Who are the right people to ensure that we're just asking the right questions? How do we make sure it's an equitable application process, right? For a lot of folks, you have a variety of employee types. You may have exempt, non-exempt, hourly, salaried. You're distributed, so you got remote, you got people in the office, right? How does everyone believe, experience, see that the application is something that they can participate in? So that's, you know, where we first came up with what questions we want to ask, but also made sure and checked in with our people partners, right? Like just a gut check, right? We have different populations. Does this feel right? We made sure that there was an approval process. We made sure their managers were involved. Now, one of the watchouts I think is sometimes you can roll out something like that and then don't know what you want to, like, then you bring these people, now what?
Yeah.
Right? And then you can almost go backwards because it's kind of like, oh, okay, it was just like for play. So we also started to say like, hey, a dream state, what do we want to do? Right. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, we want to do all these things and they're in everything. And that, okay. But where are we today? We're going to onboard over 20 new people potentially that have never done this work before, that maybe don't have all the transferable skills. Maybe they've done it before in another company. Maybe they've tried it. Maybe they're involved in, you know, a community club. So we have to make sure we're setting them up for success. So yes, although we'd like 1,000 things, what are the real things? So then we went backwards and we said, okay, we know that all of them are going to have a Heritage Month, a History Month, or something of that nature. Yeah. What does good look like? what do we think from a bandwidth perspective would be realistic at this point of where we are? Okay, let's build it out. That's a baseline.
Yeah.
Now, to your point, that then says to a group, well, we actually want to do something else. We want to do more. That is okay. You have that space, but this is what we are going to be evaluating on. This is what we're going to be looking at. The other big piece, which I know is a, I'll say a sticking point, or a point that for a lot of folks, I think both in the ERG space or even in the event space and engagement space, is an approval process, right? So that was another big piece that we knew. Like, okay, we're saying we want other things. How will we ensure that they're happening? How will we ensure that the topics and the conversations that are being had out there are the ones that align to the broader strategy? And that's where our leaders are giving more of that space of like, okay, they can, you can create, you can come up with all the things. Yeah. Again, you, we talked about the conversation, like how does my role play? And then how does like in me supporting really my AG program manager. And it's her being empowered to say like, hey, this fits, this doesn't fit. And if we need to have a conversation or we're not sure, that's where I'm able to support, right? I'm also there for some of our monthly meetings to make sure I'm sharing broader what's happening. So that they can understand the broader strategy so that they can start to filter in what works, what doesn't work. Yeah. So I would say, right, like application process, real clear expectations, that reviewing of events and your approval process, whatever that may look like, whoever that group is. And within those expectations, right, like that's where you're going to see all the things around budgeting and topics and things like that. And then the last piece, and again, like I said, we're really in the beginning of this transition, and obviously the year starts and we get into it. There's two things that we're very, very mindful of. One, we have to be open to the feedback, and we have to make sure that we're clear on the goal of why we made these changes and make sure that people see it, feel it, experience it.
Yeah.
And then the other piece is helping that planning, right? Because we started at the beginning of the calendar year, right? It's the first. So we're planning together, we're doing it. But as this continues on, it then will give us the ability, right? Like you're planning this year for next year. You know what your theme is for this, but it's building that muscle now. So as we're getting into this year, it's really like planning time, making sure that we're bringing in folks that have the right resources and expertise, because we have it, right? But there's a value to bring in someone because that shows investment.
Yeah.
So I think that that would be the last piece. You could roll out all the things.
Yeah.
But if you are not investing at the end of the day and providing that support and making sure that the value and the benefits are constantly experienced or shared, you can fail. And I'll say this wasn't part of our planning. This came up from our AG program manager in regards to the benefit, and that's providing feedback to our leaders. Let them know what they're doing well, right? Like they gotta know. And again, I think this ties to our conversation around like business impact. How are their leaders going to really know, right? Like she's in the weeds with them. So she knows that they program manage this whole thing. They work with external vendors. They know how to do this. So making sure that they also know that there's like that reciprocity, I would say. And like, hey, you all are doing all these things. We see it. We value it. And we know how it adds value to the organization and the goals that we have, especially from an inclusion and equity and at times social impact perspective as well.
Yeah, I feel like you're giving them the foundation and then you're like, okay, now you have the leeway to build how you think you should be building and make sure that you like take into account the unique experiences of the community that you're trying to support. And I think that's super important. I'm curious, you kind of touch on it towards the end, but like, how are you communicating this to your ERG leaders? Because we all know ERG leaders, a lot of times if they don't come from a background of like having structure around it, they might be like, oh, you're asking a lot more of me, or like, oh, this was just meant to be like a passion project. I didn't know I was actually signing up for all this. So like, how are you communicating this and like maintaining transparency as you do adjust like the processes of your ERG program?
Yeah, I would say, well, the first is when the application process rolled out, it was included, right? Okay. Like ideal number of hours, all the things, right? Like, and that's changed a little bit even after you rolled it out, because we, you know, evaluating like, okay, is it really this or is it really that? But I would say like the tactical things, and it didn't change, but the real amount of time. So that's one way, right? We use Slack, right? Like we're a tech company, right? Like, so communicating, over communicating sharing, right? Like, I'm, again, process mine. Everything's in a nice, clear, pretty doc. You don't know, it's pinned to the top of the channel. You can always refer to it. And I think there's also monthly meetings that are held for all of our leaders that are AG program manager leads. And then each of our affinity groups has their own leadership meetings in which she's always there as a resource, as well as if I need to be in the room. And I think that we didn't talk, right? Like, at what level do I need to be involved or lead, right? We went through a lot of changes, so it was in the nitty gritty of that. But now, right, like, I'm there if I need to be there, or if there's something happening. Never want to be absent, but also don't want to over put myself in the space when I know I have a very capable leader in the space that is able to provide them the guidance and things of that nature. So those are just some things I just want to make sure I call out too, because I think that there can also be this interesting tangle of who's in what room, when, how many people are involved, and how many people are making decisions, which I think that once you roll it out, you have to trust that the person that's supposed to be ensuring that it's followed is seen as the person that's able to drive it. If I'm constantly the voice in the room, then it changes the dynamic of who's necessarily making the decisions or leading their program. So I think as a DEI team, if you're building it together, great. And then once it's in a place that you feel good, you let that person run it and you jump in and support where you need, and you continue to provide that overarching framework and guidance if you're needed as well.
Okay. So last question for you, what advice would you give to other DEI practitioners who are kind of in like the initial stages of implementing SOP to operationalize, but also like increase the impact of their ERG?
The first thing that came to my mind, you said that, was don't stop.
Yeah.
Like, I think that just do it. Right. Yeah. And I think on the flip side of that, what I will say is you don't have to do it all. I think with anything in DEI, don't try to do it all, because you'll do none of it good. So I would say don't stop. Just make sure you know why you're doing it and what needs to be done now. I think that you have to figure out exactly what you need now, and then know that the other changes you may want to make, you can do later. So you just have to have that honest conversation around, I'm always a fan of the application process. I'm always a fan of like structured heritage months, right? Like, maybe those are the two main things you start with. Maybe it's, hey, I just want to track engagement. So you want to get people used to metrics. Maybe that's all you want to start with. But pick something, stick with it, communicate. It does have an impact. It does help. Won't be easy. Everyone won't like it. But you have to, if you know why you're doing it and you're able to really speak through it, people will come along, and the people that want to be involved will be involved. And I think everyone else, they come along. Because they see. It feels good. Who doesn't want to be part of something that feels good and is fun and all that? So that's why the first thing to my head was like, don't stop. But just make sure you know why you're doing it, being clear on how it's going to impact things, and just keeping the communication lines open. It's going to be important for it to be successful. Because I know that was the other side, right? Like, increase the impact. So you have to make sure that people can see that and experience that.
Awesome. Well, Monique, thank you for joining us on Intent to Impact. Can you tell our audience where they can find you?
Well, y'all, I'm only on LinkedIn. You know, I stay out of all these digital streets, but I'm on LinkedIn. I'm there. I try to stay active there. That's how I stay up to date with all the things. But always feel free to find me on there, add me on there. And I'm always down for a good conversation about this space.
Yeah, Monique is awesome, y'all. So I encourage you to connect. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.